Radio.
Hey, thank you for your patience. One of my like best friends is in town. We've been crafting, and our resin project ran a little late.
That's okay. He said resin. I thought you were just like cleaning out bowls.
As if they've just been smoking all damn day and cleaning bowls. Out their bowls.
Smoking a pancake?
No, we're literally making toxic plastics.
Oh, sick. You gotta toss it into the ocean and shit?
Of course.
No, we're just gonna sell them to children then they can eat them.
Mm.
Yeah. That's why we're making tiny axolotls.
Yeah. Ooh, some sort of frog fishy thing.
It's the lead paint of 2022.
It totally is. Like, we're gonna find out just having this stuff in your house like causes cancer, I'm sure. But it's really fun to make and it's full of glitter.
Sweet.
It's untidyvenus.etsy.com.
That's a penis. That's bad at housekeeping. Wait.
All right.
Penises are in general bad at housekeeping.
You don't know my penis.
Go ahead and generalize.
I thought you were going to say, I've met a penis. I've worked with a penis. And you, my friend, are not a penis.
Unleashed.
The hell was that?
The ultimate predator. Carnosaur 2.
What is this?
They found a way to bring back dinosaurs.
Move it! Move it!
We found a nest. Dozens of things have started breeding.
Look all the access rooms are sealed. We're safe in here!
Extinction is a thing of the past.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from movies. And tonight!
Oh, tonight.
We are continuing Dinovember.
Yeah!
With 1995's Carnosaur 2.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh, but babe, we're not alone for this one.
We're not?
We're not.
What?
No.
What?
We got a new guest this time. It's a gentleman named Brendan from What Were They Thinking podcast. Welcome, Brendan.
Hello. I am delighted to be here for Carnosaur 2000.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we were eventually heading to that, right? At some point, if it kept going.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Carnosaur 4 is going to be in space. Ooh, Carnivore!
Carnivore!
Well, that would just be Carnivore. Oh, but that sounds like you're also suggesting it's like a sequel to a movie called Carnivore, right?
Maybe.
whatever.
By the way, Brendan,
Sending
you something now. It's maybe a preview of what might be coming as a patron.
What?
Dun, dun, dun.
Sent you something on Twitter.
Oh, okay. I don't see anything.
It's coming. So hard. So hard for you.
Oh.
So hard.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, baby. All right. Oh, wow, man, but babe.
Steve.
I don't know about you. I'm a little thirsty.
I'm a little sober.
Oh, nice. Brendan, are you drinking anything on your end?
I have some coffee because it is very cold in this part of Canada right now, and I'm trying to warm up as best I can.
Aw, poor baby. What temperature is it at your house?
Well, the rest of the house is fine, but I am, of course, recording in the coldest room in the house.
The bedroom, eh? High five.
No, I've got a little office. What temperature in
Celsius or Fahrenheit or whatever magical numbers y'all use?
That's currency. Come on. In the rest of the house, I think it's like the rest of the house is fine. I think it's around like 22 degrees Celsius. And in here, though, it feels like it could be like, I don't know, 13 or lower. It's pretty cold.
All right, putting in my metric calendar or calendar calculator.
It's calendar.
And June. Oh.
No. Okay. We keep our house at 18 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
That's what we keep ours at.
Oh, that's a little chilly, eh?
I find it comfortable.
Okay.
I mean,
I took my sweater off.
Maybe if you're a weenie or something.
Yeah. Look, if your pet doesn't have a winter coat in winter, like, are you even living in winter?
Maybe if you're one of them, you know, 9 o'clock coffee drinkers or something.
Also, the sun just went down. It is not the coldest it's going to be tonight. It is negative 0.5 Celsius outside right now.
Oh. I think when you get into the negatives, it's all the same. Like, I don't think there's a conversion anymore.
Oh, there is.
Oh, there is.
Because 0 Celsius is 32 Fahrenheit. It's once you get to negative 40 where they finally match up.
Oh, well.
It doesn't matter from there because you're dead.
Let's hope we don't have to discuss that.
It's going to get down to negative 14 degrees Celsius tonight.
That's nice. Pretty chilly.
So, yeah, from New Belgium Brewing, we have Mountain Time Premium Lager. Hey, that's kind of fitting. Oh, first word, cold. And refreshing as snow melt in spring, Mountain Time Lager is brewed with only the finest ingredients by New Belgium Brewing, a certified B Corp and Colorado craft beer icon. Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, we went there in Fort Collins a couple weeks ago. Oh, 4.4% alcohol by volume.
I'm going to still be sober after this.
What is this, Utah? And my top?
Oh, his top.
Woo!
And the pool?
This is a beautiful crystal clear beverage, very pale yellow, like a well-hydrated man. What? Has a white foamy head, lots of medium-sized bubbles.
Medium-sized bubbles make me pretty happy.
Very, very mild aroma. Like, you get a little bit of, you get a little bit of this, almost a CO2 on the nose, and just a light maltiness. Steve's gone in for the sip.
Yeah, it's a lager. I mean, a little breadier than most international lagers, like Budweiser and stuff like that. But
oh, this beats Budweiser out of the water. This is delicious.
Yeah,
nice, water. Light, easy drinking beer. I could drink this all day.
Mm-hmm.
I would drink this all day.
I am drinking this all day.
Fuck yeah!
Mountain Time, baby!
And now, Steve, I'm assuming it's a spin-off beer from the film Wild Mountain Time, starring Christopher Walken with an Irish accent.
Oh, that's the double-hopped version, I'm sure, from the writer of Congo, John Patrick Shanley.
And we're back a dinosaur story.
That's right. Oh, we just did that last week.
Oh, that might be coming soon for me.
Oh, nice. Well, luckily that movie's only like an hour and 4 minutes when you take the credits out.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're back at Dinosaur. No, sorry, Carnosaur 2.
Woo!
This one comes from director Louis Morneau. Or Louis Morneau? I don't know how you're supposed to.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. He's been on the podcast before, babe.
Yes?
He's the director of Crackdown, Final Judgment, Quake, this, Soldier Boys, with a Z.
Of course.
Retroactive, Made Men, Bats, the Lou Diamond Phillips vehicle. Hitcher 2, I've Been Waiting. Joyride 2, Dead Ahead.
Oh.
And Werewolf, The Beast Among Us.
Yeah!
So,
wow.
Gold. And written by Michael Palmer.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. He has two credits, this, and a movie called Watchers 3. So I was curious, I wonder what this other movie is. When a new and dangerous outsider chases an intelligent golden retriever in the South American jungles.
What?
Silence. Terror grips a team of ex-military convicts sent to capture the creature. Already in, right?
Sold.
Wow.
Fucking sold.
Starring Wings Hauser.
I'm in.
And Gregory Scott Cummins. Who's he? Max Dad from Sunny Philadelphia.
Oh, shit.
I like how we're just going into these deeper and deeper dimensions with who's he? Who's that? What's that movie?
Who's he? Within a script written, but no one will ever watch.
Like, eventually we're going to end up talking about Schindler's List.
I mean, you know, isn't that where it always ends up?
Always ends up. You're drunk at a party. Someone brings up Schindler's List eventually.
Look, at least now with DVDs, it's all on one disc. Yes, back right. In the VHS days, sometimes you'd just be sitting there watching The Sound of Music. You realize, oh, I got to put the second tape in. You don't pay attention to which second tape you grab. And then all of a sudden, the hills are not alive with The Sound of Music.
It's funny because Mariah the other day retweeted someone that was like, no one knows what it's like for all those people who remember exactly where the second tape in Titanic starts.
Right.
By the way, if you swapped your Pearl Harbor and your Titanic tapes, basically the same ending.
I mean, pretty close.
I'm just saying closer than many other movies.
Yeah. True. Closer than Crash and Crash.
I mean, as somebody who made that mistake and then asked zero questions. Hey, I know exactly where in Big Trouble in Little China you have to flip the laser disc.
Oh, boy.
Oh, but by the way, Watchers 3 is the third in a trilogy based on a Dean Koontz novel, so
Have
to check this thing out.
Oh.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if it's streaming anywhere and or exists in, other than in, like, the memories of Max Dad or something.
So it's a registered Koontz classic.
Are you saying registered like child molesters have to be registered?
Yes.
Or like Criterion Collection registered?
No, like the first one. Like when Dean Koontz makes a book he thinks is a classic, he has to register it with the same department where you have to register when you're a sex offender. And they go, all right, Mr. Koontz, whatever you say.
All right, Mr. Koontz.
Yeah. Oh, I just picture like, oh, sure, Mr. Koontz, a classic, huh? Okay, carry on.
Get back to your library before I tan your hide. Yeah. Apparently it's streaming on Amazon Prime for like $4.
Looks like Steve just lost $4.
That's right, not quite yet, but coming soon. But of course, starring in Carnosaur 2, we have John Savage as Jack Reed.
Who's he, Steve?
I have no idea. He's the guy that, spoiler alert, makes it to the end for some reason.
He's the guy that's not Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah, he's got the Kurt Russell wig on, yeah.
Okay.
We have Cliff DeYoung as Major Tom McQuaid. Who's he? He's the guy that looks like Wings Hauser.
Hey!
Don Stroud as Ben Kahane.
Who's he, Steve?
Great question. But there are three people in this movie I definitely know.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Can I name one of them?
You certainly may.
Miguel A. Nunez Jr.
That's right. Juana Man himself, a.k.a. DJ from Street Fighter, Miguel A. Nunez Jr.
And also an unfortunate victim in Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Oh, is he in that?
He is. He sings while he's taking a shit to his girlfriend outside the outhouse. And then he gets stabbed.
He sings while taking a shit to his girlfriend.
Yes.
Like shitting in his hand and then taking it.
No. Like he's taking a shit in an outhouse. His girlfriend is outside of the outhouse and they sing a duet.
Hot.
And then he gets stabbed.
All right.
Spoiler alert.
That's Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream.
No, Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Oh, Friday the 13th. Oh.
The one where it isn't Jason for reasons.
Is it Burlap Sack Guy? No, that was the second one.
Right? No, it's literally an EMT who goes crazy. People, let's just say people were not happy about that movie at the time.
What? No.
I know, right?
So it's the Last Jedi of the Friday the 13th series.
It's Friday the 13th Part 5 is when toxic fandom began.
Yeah, and then they brought it all back together when he took Manhattan.
Right, exactly. That was a perfect film. No notes.
And then to space.
Yes.
But the other two I know. Arabella Holzbog. Who's she? She plays Sarah Rollins in this movie, but Steve knows her as Nancy from Stone Cold.
Woo!
Okay.
Fucking cinematic classic Stone Cold, starring Brian Bosworth and Mac's dad, Gregory Scott Cummins.
Hey!
And the most disgusting smoothie ever made.
Yeah! And of course, Michael McDonald of Mad TV fame as Evac Pilot.
Whoa!
Yeah, first time watching this movie was like, hey, is that the guy from Mad TV? Holy shit, it is!
Yeah, what was crazy is when he tried to tell someone to, or when he tried to get someone in the plane, they were like, no!
Stop! Look what I can do! Brandon, spoiler alert, he also was in the third Carnosaur movie.
Oh, fantastic, he made it. I was so worried about that character.
Apparently he retired from being an evac pilot and becomes a cop.
Sure, why not? I mean, I think this was before he was in the Mad TV cast, so he hadn't quite achieved that level of fame yet.
Yeah. This was...
not long before.
Two years or before. Yeah, yeah. It was like
yeah.
The 90s, right?
Yeah.
Well, Brendan, how did you watch this movie?
I watched this movie on YouTube for free.
Excellent. As one should. We watched it as members of the Blood Bank at patreon.com/buddybits, where for just $10 a month, you get access to a nice little streaming service with over 3,000 mostly horror movies, but other things mixed in.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Hmm.
So the movie starts.
Yeah.
And it starts the way any great movie does. Roger Corman presents. Yeah! And we get a nice little sunrise in the desert. And then it cuts to some, like, bloody eggs hatching or something.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, some thunder and, like, breaking glass, like, noises as it's, like, flashing between, like, the sunrise and these eggs.
Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out, stunners all the Carnosaurs. Credits!
Comes right out of his four-wheeler. And then you see some cowboy randomly walking around some underground tunnels. And he's like, oh, I'm just checking on that system error. And holy shit, everything's all scratched up down here.
Yeah, I thought it was weird at first that guy just had like a straight up just had a cowboy hat on.
Yeah.
I was like, should that guy be in like protective gear? I don't know.
Because those wires are like right next to him and they're fucking sparking. They're like, tsh, tsh.
And he might as well take it out a lasso, but like, I'll get this thing in working order.
Let me just tie these all up first. Yeah, got him.
Yeah. Well, Calamity Jane shows up. Yeah, etc. How's that going to fix the wire? Don't question me, woman.
Women don't know nothing about electricity. Anyway. So, yeah, anyway, here are some noises. Let me go check it out. And then we, I don't know, get like the POV of like something coming towards them, and we get probably the least convincing yell I've seen in a long fucking time. Oh,
so funny.
He's like looking at the camera and it's like, like somebody off screen is like, yell, dipshit. Like, he's fine, right?
Yeah, it was definitely like... it was definitely like 11:45 on like a 12-hour shoot, and he was like, "This is all I got left."
I've been down here with all these sparks going off. I got shocked like three times.
Roger, I didn't know there were going to be actual loose wires. Well, you know, you were on a Roger Corman film, did you not?
Do you have any idea how expensive fake wires are? Sparking wires are
fake loose wires. Safety vests, get out of town,
put your cowboy hat on and shut the fuck up. Yeah, so after that convincing yell, we then cut to some kids walking around, sneaking around this underground thing. We find out one of them's poor man's Eddie Furlong as he pulls out the I'm guessing probably the exact same prop as from Terminator 2, where, you know, he puts the thing in like the axe.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and that would be our friend Jesse, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just have him as kid in my notes because
Jesse Ventura. Wait.
Jesse Furlong. Yeah.
It's me, McMahon. I'm a 17-year-old boy.
And I've come for vengeance.
Can I tell you about my 9/11 theories?
No.
I'd rather you didn't.
Nobody wants to hear that shit.
Yeah. And then, we get some shots of some control room. Yeah, I guess back where you're trying to check the system error or whatever. And somebody has their fucking iguana on the control panel or whatever. And I'm like...
Well, Steve, you know why it's there, right?
Why?
So they can have that... guys, this is cinema. Because he goes to pet his little iguana and it's like, well, geez, man. Like, that's the reptile. There's a reptile right there that's like a pet. But also a reptile outside that's trying to kill. It's like two sides of the same coin, man.
Now, see, I was thinking more like, Werner Herzog, Bad Lieutenant Port of Call New Orleans, where suddenly he's just going to look at the iguana and start tripping out because he's on barbiturates or something.
Oh, man, I need to watch that movie.
Have you not seen Bad Lieutenant Port of Call New Orleans?
I haven't seen any of the either of the Bad Lieutenants. I need to watch both.
So the only Harvey Keitel peen you've seen is in Monsters Ball or whatever?
He's not in Monsters Ball. Is Billy Bob.
Oh, shit, it is Billy Bob. Never mind. Okay. You haven't seen Harvey Keitel's?
I haven't seen Harvey Keitel's peen. Do you not see it in Taxi? No, that would be really bad if you saw it in Taxi Driver.
Yeah, I don't think you see it in Taxi Driver. No. I mean,
Jodie
Saturn
Foster
3,
swore off film forever.
Yeah, Saturn 3 maybe. Nope, sorry, that was Kirk Douglas.
Welcome to Peen Talk.
Yeah, welcome to Peen Talk. Next up on the podcast, Harvey Keitel, followed by Kevin Bacon.
Well, enough of that stuff. What happens next? Oh yeah, kids find dynamite.
Right.
Yeah.
Apparently they research this underground bunker like, oh, see, I told you it was here. They pull out some fucking dynamite.
What's that? The biggest cherry poppers you've ever seen or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a line here that makes me laugh, too. There's the delivery. Because that guy that died, like, I think his last name is, like, Waller or something. Because someone says, hey, we hear from Waller yet? And this guy turns around as if he's, like, never acted before in his life, which is a possibility. And he says, Waller, that loser, probably jerking off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Probably jerking off. And I'm like... No time for take two? All right.
Yeah. Just one? Cool, Roger. Moving on.
We're using ends. We don't have time.
Yeah. We're losing light. What? We're inside.
We're in a stage. Yeah. Yeah, so the kids find the dynamite, but then around the corner comes Hard Hat Harry, and he's like, hey, you kids, put that shit down. Oh, goddamn it, Jesse. It's his dad or whatever, right?
It's his uncle, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but yeah, he knows him. He's like, all right, you get your ass home before I get you in trouble. And you stay right here. I'm going to tan your hide. Pulls out his belt, cracks his ass like 8 times. No.
I was like, did I miss that?
No. You didn't get the director's cut? No. He just, he basically like, he's like, all right, fine. Let's go to the mess hall restaurant, diner or whatever nearby.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you should be going around fucking around with dynamite in abandoned government facilities. Like, I know, Dad, I'm just bored. Like, okay.
You kids don't even have your underground mining licenses.
I just love how it's like a government facility. Like, in all these movies when they just say, like, oh, it's a government facility, just say what it is. Come up with something.
Yeah, we don't even know what they do here. We just work here every day for the past 25 years, Bleeping bleeps and glutin' cloops.
That's the name of my autobiography. Don't steal it.
Yeah, all right. Well, mine's going to be Chekhov's forklift because, as they're walking to the restaurant, he's like, hey, son, have I showed you this new forklift here? It's got this little, like, remote control. Sorry, for the garage door, too. So definitely not going to come up later in the movie. Anyway, want a burger?
It was incredible how obvious. Like, Chekhov would have watched that and been like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, so they're in the mess hall, and the first thing you see in the mess hall is, like, the chef, who's dressed like Ralph Fiennes in The Menu. Like,
yeah.
like he's making fucking I don't know, some sort of like asparagus reduction over scallops or whatever, but everybody else is like, yeah, can I get some french fries with that?
It seems like a weird dish for a bunch of like, I don't know, government, like construction workers, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he's like in the back, and then all of a sudden he like hears, oh, that's right, he's like taking the trash out too, because the noise is back in the garbage cans, and he's like, oh, probably just those damn raccoons or coyotes or something like that again. And then something starts literally tossing like hands to the side as it's like running towards him, and he's like, nah!
Dead.
Yep. And then inside the diner, the power starts flickering on and it like goes out. Like, what the hell is that? And then apparently some guy named Zeb just gets like tossed through a fucking window. And we don't see what's doing it. We just see people like diving through windows and being like, and like jumping and rolling over tables, like, ah, like something is just tossing these people all around.
Yeah.
And we see the kid Jesse or whatever basically like hiding in a corner watching and just like, you know, I don't know, holding back tears or whatever. Well, as we see like shadows, like, ah.
Well, similarly to a lot of like really good, a lot of really good horror movies where they don't. Where a lot of the carnage early on is off screen, like you don't see the creature right away. It's similar to that, but the reasoning here is because of the budget. It's
not, yeah.
It's not any kind of choice.
Guys, the movie's called Carnosaur. There's about 3 total minutes of dinosaurs on screen, and for good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, what they don't look great when they do appear.
Oh, I was just saying, what do you mean by that, Steve? They're amazing.
We'll get to it. It does not have the Lost Worlds budget. I'll put it that way.
What?
It doesn't have Jurassic Park 3's budget. Let's be real.
Yeah. It's more, Triassic Park or whatever that that Asylum version one was.
Prehysteria? Is that the one with the baby dinosaurs?
Oh, come on. That had a good million-dollar budget. And that movie's fantastic.
Okay.
All right, that's enough out of you.
I was saying since I was a child, so I can't comment. That's why I said okay.
Well, you've heard our episode from 2 weeks ago, right? No, you haven't yet. So anyway, yeah, carnage, kid crying in the corner. We then cut to a drunk dude in a Jeep at an Air Force base or something. Like, all right. Meanwhile, in Top Gun Maverick, I don't know. But yeah, we see him just walk into a locker room, and
Who is the guy that walks in? Is it Monk that walks in? And Monk. He's like, so anyway, last night I'm hammering this girl.
Yeah.
He says it to a girl.
And I know what you're all thinking out there. Yes, it's Tony Shalhoub.
No, he looks like
banging this broad, right? And then
he looks like when Joe Piscopo lost SNL, left SNL and gotten really good, like, ridiculous shape. Like, he kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
He's even got the
Red Heat Joe Piscopo? Or?
Yeah, well, he's even got, like, the Red Heat. I think that Belushi.
Or Dead Heat. Whatever he was in.
Yeah. Because he's got, like, the curly hair, like, the long curly hair. And he's ripped like you shouldn't be after leaving SNL and looking like, you know, Joe Piscopo.
Yeah. When he comes walking in with Nancy from Stone Cold too, just, you know, random kind of waify hot chick, and Miguel Nunez is there, and they all have the same question: why the fuck are we here?
Right.
Like, I don't know, we got the call, we're just supposed to be here, blah dot dot. And then in walks Eye Patch, and he's like, listen up, Roots, I got Major Definitely Not Wings Hauser here. Oh. And he's gonna talk to you, blah 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 blah.
Yeah. I thought the guy with the eye patch kind of reminded me of Kurtwood Smith a little bit.
Oh, totally, yeah. He actually kind of looked like Dean Norris with an eye patch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If Dean Norris and Kurtwood Smith had a sexy baby together.
Yeah, Dean Smith.
Kurt Norris.
Yeah, Kurt Norris. Chuck's one-eyed brother.
Yeah, you know why. Wink.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're basically like, the major is basically like, all right, communication's down at this Yucca Mountain facility. We need to go check it out. So yeah, it's like, all right, everybody in the chopper, shut the fuck up, let's go.
And oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Naturally, in a movie like this, they reference Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
I thought that was a strange choice.
Yeah, they just start turning on that, I'm assuming, public domain Flight of the Valkyries. And
at first I was like, okay, well, whatever. It's just Flight of the Valkyries. Like, and they're on a helicopter. Like, it's pretty close. But then they even have a character, just like in Apocalypse Now, do the brief, like, along with it. And I'm like, wow, that's straight up from that movie, too.
Well, Brendan, would you rather they do something stupid, like,
yes,
have two of them playing rock, paper, scissors just so fast that nobody even knows who wins? I mean, that would be ridiculous if that... Wait, I'm just getting word. That's exactly what happens while the music's playing.
Steve, are you getting just like, live reports?
It's like, what are you guys doing? Just...
Are you getting live reports from the set of a movie that's already been filmed?
That's right. Brendan, I've never seen this movie. I'm just
Are you watching it? Wait, are you watching this as we record?
Spoilers, maybe.
Oh, and it looks like they've arrived.
Okay, here we are. They landed on site. It says Flight of the Valkyrie still playing for some reason. Basically they get there, Major McQuaid or whatever, he's like, all right, guys, we're going to split up, search. First place I'm going to go is this mess hall. And, I don't know. They just walk into the mess hall and there is just, it's a fucking bloodbath. Like, all the tables are knocked over. That's right. There's like blood everywhere, but there was no bodies. And they're right. Like, well, that just ain't weird. It's like somebody nicked an artery and just sprayed all over the place or something. I don't know.
And Monk is immediately like, fuck this, I'm out of here. And I'm like, wow, he went from the badass to this guy very quickly.
Game over, man.
Oh yeah, basically. Well, holy shit, we'll get into that, Steve. Because I think there are so... I mean, the movie at this point is almost just entirely a ripoff of Alien.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Including characters seemingly lifted directly from the movie.
I'm surprised there wasn't a Hicks or something.
There's a Bishop.
Oh, shit, there is. Son of a bitch.
Yep.
So, like, all right, cool. Well, we'll get to the control room and, you know, maybe we'll find someone along the way or something, or at least establish communications. They get there. The control room is just... fucked, as Sushi would say. Hey, right? Oh, I'm sorry. What was it?
Double fucked, rough.
Double fucked. It was me.
He's mad I'm not letting him eat my hand.
Oh.
He's literally throwing a tantrum because my hand is not edible.
Why are you so selfish?
Izzy, you have enough hand for yourself.
He's leaving the couch because I won't let him eat my hand.
How dare you?
This is what having children is like, right?
I don't know. I also can't comment on that.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, in the mess hall they found Jesse or whatever just like in shock, like cowering in the corner, completely catatonic, and they're like, all right, well, let's get him to the infirmary too, you know, while we're trying to get the control room back up.
So it's pretty much when they find Newt in Aliens.
Yep. Mostly. And The team like is like, all right, McQuaid, you're not telling us something here. We need to know some information. We're fucking leaving. And he's like, well, I'm not going to tell you any information. I'm like, fine, then we'll just continue doing our jobs, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and that's Bishop. That's the government guy.
Yeah.
Essentially Bishop. From the first one, obviously, not the second one. If only he did that knife trick. That would have been... But they're
he starts playing rock paper scissors and he's always winning. It's like, wait a minute.
Well, isn't there like even the table they all argue at even looks like the table from Alien?
Yes, it's an Alien ripoff. We get it. No, but it's like xenomorphs. It's guy in dinosaur's outfit.
It just looks like the same room they filmed in.
It might be.
It could be. Roger Corman does reuse a lot of sets.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you
somebody doing... watches a lot of Roger Corman movies like, wait, wasn't this in
you doing anything with this set later? No, Roger, Alien came out 10 years ago. Oh, okay, cool.
Wait, wasn't this in that Fantastic Four movie that definitely we don't have a copy of?
Oh, I still need to watch that.
It's fantastic.
Whoa.
Still the best one.
Don't eat the couch. Do not eat my couch.
Steve, don't eat her couch.
Stop eating my couch.
Anyway, so they find out, like, sub-level D&E are, like, classified, and I think they also show that it's, like, dangerous to go down there or whatever, and it's like, okay, cool, well, I'm guessing that's not where the people are. If they are, they're corpses. All right.
Yeah.
And Jack Reed or whatever, he goes to talk to the catatonic kid, and basically he's like, it's okay, kid, we'll take care of you, and blah, 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 and all. So the kid's like... God help us. And we start flashing back to people being tossed all around the restaurant or whatever.
And he does the fakest, like, going into shock, like, shake acting I've ever seen.
Yeah. is that good? Do I keep going? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we go to the control room, and the kid, the other girl, I don't know, Galloway or whatever the hell her name is, and Moses, who's Miguel Nunez, they're in the control room, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, you can hang here with me, blah blah blah. Team's just checking the different sub levels, and you know, we got walkie talkies going, and then the team finds like a big ass tooth, like, you know, in a duct or something, and they're like, what the fuck is this? This is a big ass tooth, man. And then they hear in the distance, like, was that a roar? What the fuck was that?
Yeah, that's a dinosaur.
Yeah. Brendan, what happens?
When they start hearing dinosaur noises?
Yep.
Okay, now, you're much better at knowing which character is which here, but I know that one of the characters...
Call him Eye Patch.
Eye Patch? Okay, well, I don't know ever if it's him, but I know one of the characters here gets, like, taken away by one of their fucking claws.
Yeah, it's Eye Patch. He gets, like, Eye snagged Patch, okay. And just, like... dragged along while the rest of the team is like, what, you hear a noise? What? Eye Patch, where are you going? Ah!
And I was also shocked. I think I've seen Carnosaur, but I don't remember anything because I saw it such a long time ago. But I think, was that movie gorier than this? Because there was hardly anything.
It's pretty gory. There's definitely a lot more blood in the first one, but I think...
Yeah.
And I guess the body count's about the same too.
There's one moment late in the movie which I almost cheered because it was like super gory and gross and great.
Yeah,
but
I know what part you're talking about.
Other than that, though, like it's pretty dry.
Hey, when you spill blood, you gotta, you know, if you're doing a second take, which you're not gonna do.
You don't get blood on that shirt. We need to film your other scenes after.
That's right. I'm not washing. You wash it on the way home tonight.
Yeah. That's right.
Eye Patch gets snagged off and just dragged off in the distance. And we hear him screaming and then, like, hear a or something. It's like, okay, that fucker's dead.
Yep.
We then cut back to the control room, and there's a raptor basically standing over Moses. Like,
the
in his
best
control chair.
Scene in the movie.
It really is. Because he's like, you know, type, and then just kind of, like, looks up. And there's like looks like a 10-foot tall fucking raptor just standing over him.
Yeah. And Steve, in the case where you are confronted by a giant raptor, okay, suddenly appears and looking very menacing,
vacate your bowels.
Staring at you, vacate your bowels, of course. Would your strategy be to challenge it to a boxing match?
I mean, what the fuck else are you gonna do?
He's like, all right, motherfucker, let's go. And I was like, what?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Right. Also, I got to say, though, he made it to, he's the token black guy in this movie. At least he was the second person to die.
Yeah, it was Cyclops that died first.
Right, right. So
I guess all the people in the restaurant. But...
Yeah, this movie's just more ableist than racist.
That's right. Take that, Friday the 13th, 5.
Yeah, well, he doesn't die right away either.
Oh shit! Do you think that chair he was sitting in was the shitter?
I hope so.
it's like the 24-hour watch chair or whatever. It's just got a hole in the bottom.
Well, if he had started singing the same song in Friday the 13th, which of course it as you all know was "Ooh baby, ooh baby, ooh baby." Yeah, that's what he sings because they couldn't get the rights to any song.
Justin Bieber, you hack. Oh.
If he had started singing that to the raptor before he, like, challenged it to a boxing match, holy shit. By the way, it's crazy because you mentioned Jason Takes Manhattan earlier, and in that movie, one of the guys actually does challenge Jason to a boxing match.
That's true.
And it's a black guy. It's all coming together.
I'm telling you that Jason's going to meet these carnosaurs in space one day.
Oh my God, Jason versus carnosaur in space. 3D.
Jason X Carnosaur.
Jason X Carnosaur. Freddy versus Jason X Carnosaur in space, 3D.
No matter who wins, we laugh. So he starts boxing and gets tossed around and dragged away eventually. And then the kid in Galloway, they were there in the control room, like, watching as he was being tossed around and stuff, and I'm like, run, do something? But then, yeah, eventually they start running through the tunnels, and you get all the, like, you know, the alien shots or whatever, like, following them down the tunnels up the low angle, looking up, and, you know, fog coming out of the walls, and or pipes or whatever, you know, all that kind of shit.
And Miguel Nunez doesn't even really get killed ultimately by the raptor. He gets killed because he gets electrocuted on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought was
shocking.
Kind of funny.
Yeah. And, eventually, oh, that's right. They're all like, all right, everybody get the fuck out and meet at the chopper. And Galloway's the first one there because she's the pilot, and I guess she got like a 30 Mississippi head start or something. But yeah, she starts up the chopper. You know, you hear
my God.
You know, the propeller or whatever starts going around. But Brendan, what happens?
Well, apparently these dinosaurs love a good prank as much as anyone, because one of them is waiting in the helicopter for her. And pops up in the air in the middle of her flight as if to say, hey-o! And
yeah, just you see it, like, slowly rise, like it's in the back seat. But it's like, wait, she would have had to, like, jump over it to get in the helicopter and into the seat. But don't worry about that.
So it would have had to have been literally hiding.
Yep.
In the helicopter. And then the best part is, oh my God, but the best part is it kills her, obviously, because it's fucking raptor and they're in the air. And then when the helicopter crashes, holy shit. Holy shit. It is the most obvious use of a model.
Like when the tail thing, like, breaks in half and you can, like,
see the styrofoam? The
pipe. Yeah. Yeah, it's. I'm like, oh man, model crashes, boom, roll and credits, then, guys. What do we think?
And then 10 minutes later, it blows up. Like,
yeah.
Like, what?
You can almost see, like, the cardboard that was, like, used on the inside or something. Yeah.
And I'm assuming that at this point, the dinosaur inside died as well.
Oh, yeah. But apparently, there's like 50 of those fuckers running around.
There's
this
so
base.
Many. So many.
And, you know, the rest of the team, they're saying, you know, they're watching the model explode or whatever, and they're like, oh shit, we should get back inside. And they're like, no, we should go out into the desert, blah blah. It's like, it's 50 miles to fucking anywhere, you know, whatever, they, you know, that whole thing. And so it's like, all right, fine, let's go back inside.
And then when the idea of dinosaurs comes up, someone says, right, I'm Bigfoot, and she's the Loch Ness Monster. And the girl, the other female character, says, "You can call me Nessie." And I was like, "What?
What? Wait, shut the fuck up, kids!
Why are we?
Shut up, kids! Grown man talking. No, what I'm saying is, McQuaid starts, like, telling him, like, "Oh yeah, we found some fossilized DNA. We brought back dinosaurs." And I'm like, "Okay, if this is Carnosaur 2." That's not how they did in the first Carnosaur movie.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you remember, Brandon, but obviously Bond girl Diane Ladd was also a scientist and used chicken DNA to reverse engineer dinosaurs because, you know, chickens are descendants of dinosaurs, right?
Well, like, listen, I didn't remember that happening, but now that you told me, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, see.
I mean, I don't know, Jurassic Park's explanation was just ludicrous compared to this.
Yeah, that's why they decided, you know, I think we're just going to say, oh yeah, we found some fossilized DNA and not a mosquito. What's another thing? A tick or something. And we use that and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, something went crazy and, you know, we thought we got them all, but shit, apparently there was 50 of them running around this place.
Yeah, we thought we got them all. And then it turns out that the first one was really profitable. So we didn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They say he like found a nest or whatever and like froze the eggs. And they're like, I don't know, maybe the fridge went out. they're free now. That's what's important.
Yeah.
So, the kid, you know, he's basically back to normal now. And he's like, well, yeah, I can help you access the network and get things going. Like, cool. Why weren't you doing that 10 minutes ago when, DJ from Street Fighter was trying to do it?
He goes from catatonic to clarity very quickly.
Yeah, to quippy.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Hashtag winning.
Yeah. Oh, and then he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, if you're looking for something to blow up dinosaurs with, we found some dynamite yesterday. Wait, what? That's great. Okay, new plan. Let's just blow this fucking popsicle stand. And McQuaid's like, whoa, hold on. This is a government facility. You can't just blow it up. And he's like, fucking watch me. No.
I also think, I got to think, like, obviously dynamite would blow up a dinosaur. I'm not denying that on this podcast. I am not making that statement. But do you think it is kind of funny to me that, like, dinosaur and dynamite, like, come on, there had to be something there.
Oh, shit.
I was thinking the guys that wrote this movie were like, you know what? That makes sense. Yeah, because obviously dinomite would destroy dinosaur. So that must be their weakness. It's explosions.
Yeah, well, you know, dinosaur means terrible lizard. So dinomite means, I don't know, terrible pacifier. Guys, don't give your babies dynamite.
Don't give your baby. Sounds like a country song.
Give your babies all the dynamite they want. We have too many people on this planet. And the next generation. Robots are the future.
That's right. Take them out like carnosaurs.
Izzy's right? Suggestion does not reflect that of this station or...
Oh, no. I reflect all of this.
Yeah, Brendan's more into drowning babies, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to watch it happen.
Like, watch the light leave their eyes.
Right. Yes, yes. I like to... I like to watch it slowly happen.
So anyway, Jack and Monk go to get that dynamite. And of course we get the little, they find the iguana. They're like, I thought it was one of those things. Like, all right, you're an idiot. So then they go downtown and it's like, oh man, what's this here? And there's like a bunch of junk just like blocking a doorway. And like, looks like they built a wall to keep us out of this section or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, Trump could use some of them.
Topical.
Anyway. But they're like looking at it, and then like the door locks behind them. They're like, wait, what the fuck? McQuaid, what are you doing? He's like in the control room, and he's like, what? I'm just trying to protect the base. You guys can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, cool. Well, we're just going to blow this fucking place up anyway, so I hope you're ready to explode. And McQuaid's like, no! No, don't do that! And he like starts running down there like, no, my babies. And like,
I laughed so hard at that point because I was like, I mean, we find out he does knock down one of them. But just seeing him attempt to go after two of them, I'm like, what does he think he's going to do?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he fucking sucker punches Monk or whatever with like a pipe upside his head or something.
Yeah.
But when he attacks Jack, it's like. It's like, well, yeah, you're going down, buddy.
Yeah, take that, nerd.
But yeah, so yeah, him and Jack are fighting or whatever. Then like the alarm starts going off, and it's like containment failure. 2 hours until we nuke this bitch. And they're like, what? No, we can't do that. They start fighting some more, but then Monk gets the better of them and knocks McQuaid out from behind. He's like, surf's up, motherfucker. I don't know. He says something stupid, but. But then Monk's like, all right, let's get out of here. And then he's like instantly attacked by a raptor.
Oh, yeah. And Monk is, I guess he's not RIPD yet.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name? Jack like grabs a gun and like shoots the raptor.
Yeah.
But yeah, Monk's like all scratched up and shit. So they take him to the infirmary.
Yeah.
And then we start getting like McQuaid's like, all right, what's going on here? What does it mean containment failure? Like, well... this base was like an atomic waste repository. Like all, you know, you're cutting down all the nuclear missiles and stuff. All that uranium's got to go somewhere, so we stored it here. And as I've written down, along with frozen dinosaur eggs, right?
Yeah, obviously.
That's like the two purposes of this base.
Yeah, dinosaur eggs and nuclear waste.
Yeah, all right, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And never the two shall meet to create a Godzilla. Am I right?
Never. Also, a great line in this scene is, if it blows up, it could make Hiroshima look like a campfire.
Yeah.
Which I noted. Woof.
Oh, another thing is when, like, McQuaid casually says something like, oh, I don't know, these dinosaurs must have, like, ruptured the nukes. And I'm like, picturing a bunch of, like, raptor scientists, like, figuring out the codes to the nukes to, like, launch them or whatever, like, down in there, like, beep, 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 boop, beep.
And I figure, like, a T-Rex comes along and they're, like, you know, they make him feel bad about himself because his arms are so small. And he's like, I want to help, too. And they're like, fuck off.
Yeah, so then he goes to run for chancellor in a neighboring country and ends up invading later.
It actually turns into... It turns to something out of, like, the Manchurian Candidate, eventually.
Exactly. So you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the nukes could explode, and so the kid's like, well, why don't we just, I don't know, crash the system and restart everything? Are you sure you want to do that? Because it's already, like, containment failure. Yeah, put down all the safeguards, see what happens. Okay, kid. Whatever, it works. And Jack, he starts, like, planning the dynamite or whatever, like, all these different... that's right. They start putting, like, the dynamite, like, bombs, like, all these access points. So it's like, oh, yeah, if these fuckers come through here, they're going to get blown up and which, blah, blah, blah.
I got to say, like, very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, no shit. You're in a facility and you're just like, yeah, we'll just blow everything up while we're still inside. Okay.
Fucking nukes and plutonium in there. And they're just like, yeah, dynamite tripwires. Woo!
Yeah. And of course, what's the only way to call out a dinosaur that you're trying to lure to trip all these bombs?
What do they do?
Kill the wabbit.
When Roger Corman found out it was free to use that song, he was like, use it again.
Roll the end credits too. Fuck it.
Can we do
happy birthday, you bastards!
Can we do the official Carnosaur 2 music video set to Flight of the Valkyries?
It must be.
Yeah. If only this movie had an original theme song.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, so they start playing Flight of the Valkyries, right? And the kid, like, starts going in and talk about, like, watching the raptors or whatever eat his dad or whatever there at the restaurant. Like, they just stood there watching. And then Jack's like, yeah, my son, he burned alive, and I was there to watch that, too, and I'm like, all right.
They never go back to that, right?
No. Okay. They're just like, oh yeah, your family died horribly. Mine, too. Let's be friends.
My theory is that fake Kurt Russell fell asleep with a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. He was a little drunk.
Cause
sleeping next to, like, the crib or whatever, the bassinet.
Because we never went back to
by
it.
By the time he woke up from the smell, the bassinet was already engulfed in flames.
Yeah, because, I mean, they never revisited that point. Like, I thought eventually we were going to find out a little more detail because he gets cut off. He gets interrupted, right? And it's just like, yeah, I died in a fire. And it's like, hey, we need you down here. And I'm like, wait, I want to hear more about this death.
Yeah, right. Well, you remember how he gets cut off, though, too. The kid's, like, not even paying attention. He's just like, oh, shit, I found the emergency shutdown codes here just fucking around in the system. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, and fake Kurt Russell's like, oh, well, fuck me, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess. But then all of a sudden they hear, like, a couple of the bombs, you know, going off in the distance. Like, what the fuck was that? Like, you planted dynamite all over the place. Oh, yeah, they must be getting close, yeah.
Jesus.
So they,
Christ.
Like, shut the system down, reactivate it. They just hear, like, more explosions. It's like a fucking fireworks show or something going on down there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many did they place? Because, like, over the course of the next, like, 2 minutes, you're going to hear, like, 20 explosions going off. Like, yeah, that place is going to, like, cave in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the best part is, okay, you see, like, the raptors, you know, the guys in raptor suits or whatever, and they're, like, knocking pipes off the wall to, like, then trip the wires and set it off before they get there and explode with it. Like, you know, they're learning, clever girls, that kind of shit.
Oh, man, if only Muldoon had been in this movie.
You're right. They're smart. Too smart. Oh, that's right. They're like, all right, we got to get out of here. So they start, like, running. And then one of them just, like, pops out of a fucking... it's like one of those, like, submarine doors, like, the little turn, you know, the little turn wheel or whatever to lock it. But they just kind of, pop out of there. Like, no, get back, cuckoo. And then another one, like, comes through the ceiling and, like, snags and pulls them up there. And I'm like, fucking aliens. And, yeah, so, you know, that's right. They snag, Sarah, the chick from Stone Cold.
Yeah.
That's right. Cause then like drags her a little bit through the ducts and takes her to a room. And, Brendan, what happens to her?
I honestly missed her fate.
She's the one that has her arm torn off.
Oh, I missed this. I don't know how I missed this. Because,
you missed that?
Well, because suddenly I looked and I was like, wait, where did she go?
It came down, snagged her, and then it's like, you're like in a room and she's like trying to fight it off. And like, you know, she's got her arm like, get back. And it just like grabs her like elbow and like bites down on it. And you see it like tear her arm away. Like see like the little sinewy, you know, effects of whatever, like a Tom Savini movie. And she's like, ah!
And this must have been the scene you were talking about with the gore.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh no, I'm talking about something later. But my next note, like I must have missed this whole part, is Monk and Bishop do their big like sacrificial moment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's coming up here too. Yeah.
Okay. yeah, because I was like, where the fuck did she just like go get groceries? Like, where did she go?
Yeah, I swear they were just here. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So the rest of them, they get in like this elevator and like, all right, we got to go down to go up or I don't know what. So they're going down. But then it like stops and they have to like manually open it up and like start crawling in the vents. And you hear the computer like, all right, 10 minutes until shit gets real.
Oh, by the way, I just thought of it. I know what she actually did in my version of the movie because I didn't see her death. Is she comes up and she says, no, I'm staying. I'm a carnosaur now. I'm one of them.
They've accepted me.
Accepted me in their family. It turns out I have much more in common with this place than Earth.
She becomes queen of the raptors.
Yes, and her and the queen of the damned rule the world.
Yeah, so the rest of them, they're crawling through the vents and they like, immediately like turn left and there's like a backlit raptor which is sitting there waiting for him and it doesn't go after him, it just kind of stands there and goes rah! They're like, oh shit, there's one of them there, and like run away. Oh no, that's right, they throw the dynamite at it and pff, fucking dummy kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's another one, boom, it like trips one of the wires or something. Oh shit, there's more, and they just start like chucking dynamite and shit and you know, like running and like sliding under the wires as they like run after and explode. But fucking great, guys! I love this movie. No,
yeah.
Oh, and this is the part where Monk's with him. Like he's kind of hurt. He's kind of like the one like hobbling behind him or whatever. But then I don't know, something explodes and falls on him. He's like, ah, shit! I'm crushed. Ah, help! I don't know, McQuaid or whatever decides like, hey, I'm gonna help him out. I'm gonna drag you out of here, buddy. But like, they take like two steps and like, fuck, you're heavy. All right, I guess we're just gonna go out alien style here. This is where you're talking about where they just like strap the dynamite and they're like, choke on it.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's just down to Jesse and not Kurt Russell.
Yeah, Jesse and Jack.
Yeah.
But then some random explosion happens and Jack gets like flipped off the side of like a guardrail and is like hanging over this I don't know fucking 100-foot drop right in the middle of this sub-level. I don't know why, man.
And he survives that fall.
Well, you know why he survives, because Jesse's like trying to help, but he's like, I'm just a little kid, what the fuck am I gonna do? And he falls, and he literally falls on it looks like it's a giant fucking stunt mattress, like you see it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It looks like it has like those cardboard tubes you like use in like sword fights when you were a kid. Like a couple of those just on top. So you see like this mattress like absorb all the flow and like this little cardboard tube like, and like, no, Jack, you're dead, but totally not.
It was still from like such a height though. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah, he's definitely got some, I don't know, coccyx damage or some shit going on, right?
Yeah, like, I don't think he's getting up and just kind of limping that off.
Yeah, well, yeah. And the kid, he's like, you know, 10 stories up. He's like, I'm going to go get some help. I'm going to go find the evac team or whatever. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So he gets the service, find them. And we see, you know, Stuart from Mad TV coming out like, hey, buddy, you need to fly out of here.
Oh, is that that's the guy he played? Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of the he's the helicopter pilot or whatever. Yeah. And but the kid's like, no, I gotta go get my buddy. And I'm like, wait, weren't you supposed to get help?
Well, yeah, he was like, well, at first he was like, they're all dead, they're all dead. And he's like, okay, well, let's go. And he's like, no, one of them's not dead. And I'm like, what the fuck, kid?
Who the fuck is he? Goddamn retard. Yeah. So, and anyway, we hear the computer like 5 minutes until explosion or whatever. And the kid, like, instantly is, like, finds Jack. Like, I don't know if he just took the stairs all the way down and was like, oh, Jack, you're here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, and then they, like, instantly also find, like, a bunch of the bodies there.
Yep.
And, like, little pieces and stuff. Like, holy shit, this is where they stored them.
And then my favorite gory moment in the movie.
Take it.
As when the dinosaur rips off one of the fucking evac person's heads.
Yeah,
and the blood just shoots up. Yeah, I was like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah, that was great.
If only I'd seen the arm rip.
Yep. Meanwhile, down with Jack and Jesse, you start hearing some thumps. What the hell is that? I'm a motherfucking T-Rex! T-Rex!
Everybody do the dinosaur.
Yeah,
so they like, freeze our chainsaws!
Yeah, so they start running for that freight elevator to go back to the top. Ah, shit! And, yeah, they get the freight elevator, and the T-Rex, like, tries headbutting it or whatever. It's just like the first movie, because it's, you know, a doll or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they get to the top, and they're like, oh, good, we're safe. Oh, nope, there's raptors up here. Oh, shit! And, yeah, this is where, like, the evac team starts, like, flying away, but, yeah, the head gets ripped off, and it's fucking great.
Well, then we get to the moment that was foreshadowed so long ago, is that Jesse gets in that forklift thing, and I know, yeah. And I know that this is also basically how the first Carnosaur ended, right? This fight kind of scene.
Sure is, yeah. But it's basically a front loader or whatever in that one, but yeah, just...
And it's also how Ripley fights the aliens in Alien, also.
Get away from her, you bitch!
When she gets it... Is it Alien or Aliens? I think it's the first
aliens.
One. Aliens. Oh, it is the second one? Where she gets that device?
Yeah, the
robot thing?
Yeah, basically the... What is it? Mech war thing, whatever.
I thought...
Bio squad or whatever. Yeah.
I really thought that was the first one.
No, first one, shit, how's that one?
She doesn't get into it in the first one, in that,
No, it's the second one, because, remember, get away from her, you bitch, she's talking about Newt.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she gets into that like, robot thing?
Yeah.
To fight the alien? Okay.
Yeah, the alien queen.
Okay. Anyway, it's just like that.
Yeah, totally. Except in this one, the T-Rex.
Except and terrible.
Just starts hitting him in the gut and just gushing. Just like in the first movie, starts hitting him in the stomach and just gushing blood.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And he also uses the remote to, like, open the door to the, you know, the fucking, I'm assuming, tunnel to hell. Like, just random... fucking giant hole they have in this military base that goes all the way to the bottom. Why would you have that? No idea.
Ventilation,
maybe,
babe.
Maybe it's an elevator. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so it's ventilation for all the nuclear waste down there.
It's there to get rid of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
He knocks it down the elevator shaft.
Yeah, and it goes, ah! And then when it hits the ground, like, you know, a couple hundred feet down, you see it bounce like a rubber ball. Because it's, you know, it's a fucking rubber suit being dropped or whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
And then you hear the computer, all right, 2 minutes to explosion. And Jack's like, no, we can't leave. We got to get the kid. 1 minute. And the kid starts running, gets on, they fly off. And then, he uses the fucking remote to set off all the rest of the bombs. Boom, 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 boom. Nuclear explosion. Goes off. I'm assuming an EMP knocks out the helicopter. They crash. Roll credits. Guys, what do we think of...
The least realistic part of this movie.
Yeah.
Somehow.
No, the helicopter's just fine, even though, you know, the fucking the county's eviscerated behind them in a nuclear explosion.
I thought the scary ending that we don't really see is that not Kurt Russell is either going to become this kid's new father or groom him till he's old enough to be in a relationship.
Oh, he's a groomer.
Yeah, 100%.
But instead he just goes, "Hey, it's gonna be okay, kid." We get that shot of the sunset from the beginning of the movie. Roll credits.
Roll credits.
Yeah, that's Carnosaur 2, guys. Yeah. Definitely not. They definitely didn't want to call it Carnosaurs because, you know, aliens. But
I mean, you just embrace it at this point. Like, come on.
Yeah. Brendan, would you recommend this movie?
I mean, I think we made it sound more entertaining than it actually was, because I think there were long stretches where it was just like, at 82 minutes at points it felt long.
there are definitely some slower parts.
I'll give it a mild yes, just for the ridiculous stuff we talked about, but I think it's less entertaining than it sounds.
Yeah, if you like killer dinosaurs, check it out, kind of a thing.
Sure.
Yeah. How about you, babe?
1 and 3 are more entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go with that too. But yeah, it's Carnosaur 2. You know what you're getting into. It's a sequel to a movie nobody saw in the first place. You know, it's Roger Corman Presents. You know what you're doing.
Apparently, it was one of his most profitable movies. The first one.
Oh well, yeah, because it beat Jurassic Park to the killer dinosaur thing. So, and it, I think it was like made for $1 million, and I don't know. You make $5 million. Guess what? You just made 4 times your money on top right there.
Did he actually push it out before Jurassic Park?
Yeah, it came out like 3 weeks before or something like that.
Oh, that's why. Okay. So then everything was compared to the effects in Carnosaur. That was what he was going for.
Yeah, what wasn't nearly as profitable as Prehysteria, though. The number one rental of 1993.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, so on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Oh, but when we come back, we have more beer, fun facts, and what we learn from Carnosaur 2.
Carnosaur 2.
Everything!
Electric Boogaloo. Hey everybody, are you looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays? Do you like supporting the arts? Well then you need to check out untidyvenus.etsy.com, the top one-stop shop that always pops her top. Are you a fan of dinosaurs? Snacks? Dinosaurs made out of snacks? Movie monsters? Unicorns? Cats? Dogs? Rats? Shrimp? Pokemon? Tie-dye? Paracord bracelets? Paracord dog leashes? Enamel pins? Coloring books? Block prints? Watercolor? Pet portraits? Buttons, magnets, stickers, bottle openers, artist trading cards, or really anything else that's awesome? Then stop on by untidyvenus.etsy.com. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. .etsy.com. New items are popping up all the time, so be sure to follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at untidyvenus. Or visit her website at izzycreates.com for the latest. Did I mention the Snackosaurs? How about Gary the Unicorns? untidyvenus.etsy.com. The goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Check it out now.
Hi, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Jason.
And we host a podcast called Four Screens
and Country.
And what do we do on this podcast, Jason?
We talk about the best British films of all time, as voted by British people in the British year of 1999.
The BFI Top 100, to be exact.
100 movies.
So with each episode, we talk about a movie on the list, historical significance, if it holds up, etc., etc., etc. You can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and all that good stuff.
Wherever podcasts are sold.
Hey, this is Heather.
Hey, this is Liz.
And we are Nerdy Bitches Podcast,
a show where two geeky ladies podcast their way through pop culture.
From our favorite fandoms to the occasional girl talk and our ongoing book club. we bring everything to you with a feminine eye.
You can find us on all of your favorite podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, and at our own website, nerdybitches.com.
You can also find us at our new home on the Age of Radio Podcast Network, along with other great shows at ageofradio.org.
Make sure to connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you soon.
I'm Lucian Greaves of the Satanic Temple, and you're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies.
And we're back.
Oh my god, Steve, these are the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
Ah, she said it!
They get better every week!
Every fucking week they get better!
Woo!
Yeah! Whew. I don't know about you guys. I'm a little thirsty.
Oh, that's weird. I'm still pretty sober.
Oh, well, I guess I'm going to take care of that. Let me grab my Raptor Claw bottle opener for this one.
Yeah!
I've got something that might take care of that. Straight grain alcohol.
not too far off. From Boulevard Brewing in Kansas City, Missouri, we have their barrel-aged whiskey barrel imperial stout, which is 11.8% alcohol by volume. Not too bad. Yeah, no description, but yeah, guys, it's barrel-aged imperial stout. What do you want?
Fuck yeah!
And, my top? Ooh. Supposed to use this guy?
Oh, my top!
Nice. And the silky pour.
What?
Oh my god, light does not pass through this beverage. Mm. This is pitch black.
Velvety.
This is better than Mountain Dew pitch black. This has a dark khaki-colored head, lots of tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles and some whiskey.
Oh my god, this just smells like whiskey and
chocolate. Yeah, totally, yeah. Chocolate-covered whiskey. Right. Mmm.
Oh.
Yeah, as you might expect, it's fucking delicious. Yeah, it tastes like chocolate, a little bit of toasted oats, but yeah, mostly chocolate and whiskey. Goddamn.
Fuck yeah.
That is fucking smooth.
Are
you enjoying your coffee, Brendan?
I have finished my coffee, and I will probably have a second one, even though it is 10:30 at night.
Why would you do that? Why just smoke a bowl?
I want to be awake, not asleep. I mean, that's not a bad idea, though, now that you mention it.
Nice. Well, would either of you be interested in any fun facts?
Only if they're super fun facts, because fun facts.
Yeah. That would be my required prerequisite as well.
Excellent. Well, let's find out if they're fun. All right, Rotten Tomatoes. There were two critic reviews, and they were both 2 out of 5. So technically 0%, but, you know, kind of in the middle there.
But also technically NA.
Right, yeah, technically not applicable.
Yeah.
But nobody gives a fuck about the critics anyway. What about that audience? Any guesses, Brendan?
I don't know. I feel like it's pretty low. I'm going to say like 26%.
Izzy?
I'm going to go with my super generous 17%.
Brendan is closest. It is 31% with the audience. Fun fact, apparently the original is 23%.
Audience rating?
Audience rating.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. No budget or worldwide gross because here we go. Was originally slated for a fall 1994 theatrical release, but it was pushed to direct-to-video in February of 95. Apparently test screenings weren't positive.
What?
I know. Well, it may have something to do with John Savage, who played Jack Reed. He claimed in an interview that he was intoxicated for most of the filming of Carnosaur 2.
You can tell.
He did seem really sweaty and greasy the whole time. I was like, maybe that's just, they're like spraying it down, blah, blah, blah. But nobody else in the movie was. So.
Yeah, I just figured he was doing his impression of, Kurt Russell's character in The Thing.
Oh, MacReady?
Yeah, where he drinks a lot in that movie, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess most of his characters do.
Yeah, especially the Christmas Chronicles, where he plays Santa Claus.
Yes, especially The Strongest Man in the World on Disney Plus today.
Yeah, the World's Greatest Athlete. Or
The Computer War Tennis Shoes. The Computer War Tennis Shoes and Drank a Bottle of Whiskey a Day, I believe is the title of that movie.
The Computer Chugged Out of Tennis Shoes.
Yeah.
The 16-foot tall Tyrannosaurus Rex robot from the first film was reused for the sequel. No shit.
What?
In the original movie, the robot had frequently broken down and performed so poorly that it was used, that its use was limited to only a few shots. Despite budget constraints, Magical Media Industries did manage to improve the robot so that it could be used more extensively for the battle scene in which the dinosaur fights the forklift. However, there we go, the robot was still ill-suited for stunt work, such as the shots of the creature ramming the forklift, so miniatures, stock footage, and hand puppets were again used frequently as in the first film.
Yeah, hand puppets!
Yeah, the hand puppet's one of the best. It'd just be like, ah! Like right in front of the camera.
That's some Tammy and the T-Rex shit right there.
The Deinonychus from the first film were replaced by Velociraptors in the sequel. Could you tell? Not really.
Oh, yeah, because didn't they model them really closely after Jurassic Park?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. However, the exact same Deinonychus costume molds from the first film were used to create the bodies for the raptors.
Yeah.
Only the heads and necks were changed to reflect the longer necks and snouts that distinguished the two dinosaurs. Close-ups were achieved using, that's right, puppet heads with mechanical devices.
Amazing.
Brendan, what do you think the body count in this movie was?
Oh, okay. Does that count? Does that include all the people at the beginning?
Of course.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I'm going to say 21.
Is he?
Five.
30 is the body count in this movie.
Hey!
All those people at the beginning, according to Izzy, were already dead.
Yeah, they died from the radiation poisoning or something.
I don't know. It's like, we've done these and sometimes it's like 10,492 if you count the village that they talked about in the first thing that they torched with napalm. Yeah. Or sometimes it'll be like, well, we're only going to count three because they're the only ones you see on screen because we don't really count.
Only ones you see the light leaving their eyes.
Yeah. We've come to the end of Pan, and what do you suppose the body count is? 947. That's right.
We've reached the end of Transformers 4, The Last Night. How many people do you think died? I don't know. All of them because the fucking moon crashed into Earth?
38 billion people.
Right. And maybe a few moon men, however many are up there.
Yeah.
Another 200 million.
Moon men.
Because, you know, the moon is hollowed out. That's Moonfall. My bad. Coming soon?
You guys haven't talked about Moonfall yet? I feel like you have.
Oh, we haven't.
Oh.
Oh, believe you me, we have not. We did on Facebook where we basically just streamed it, stream of consciousness on Facebook.
Oh, if I had not have already seen Moonfall, I could have watched those comments and been totally fine with not ever watching Moonfall because I got the whole movie.
Yeah, we just saved you 2.5 hours.
Oh, it is 2.5 hours. God damn it.
Yeah. But, guys, we reached the most important part.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What could we possibly have learned from Carnosaur 2? Brendan, as our guest, would you like to hear Izzy go first?
I would, in fact, like to do that, and I would like to also pretend that that was my idea.
Excellent.
Ooh, what did I learn from Carnosaur 2? I learned, so anyway, I was fucking this bitch.
I was banging this broad, right?
Oh, banging this broad. There we go.
I think he says, no, I think he says I was hammering this girl.
Yeah.
Some girl got hammered by that.
Little did we know, he wasn't talking about having sex with her. He was talking about killing her, bludgeoning her with a hammer.
Jesus, Monk just got way darker of a character.
Damn Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, that's the Tony Shalhoub joke. I get it now. I just kind of, when you said it earlier, I was just kind of like, yeah, Tony Shalhoub, sure, whatever.
Yeah, he's got curly hair, I guess.
I get it now. It makes sense.
Brendan, besides that, what did you learn from this movie?
I learned that I can somehow watch an 82-minute movie and miss a scene where a girl's arm gets ripped off. Like, how does that happen?
I have no idea. It must have been writing down a note or something.
I guess so. Was it a quick scene?
like 30 seconds or something.
Damn.
Like, you know, they got to show the one special effect.
Now, I did.
The guy in a raptor outfit.
Now, I did watch it at work. So it was a possibility. I looked away for a second. I missed it. Steve, what did you learn?
I learned if you have an atomic waste repository or whatever, don't store your frozen dinosaur eggs there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anything else I learned? Oh, yeah. If you got to fall from a great height, make sure there's a giant mattress with some cardboard pipes on the bottom.
I also learned that the writer of Carnosaur 2 knows how to copy and paste a script.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I wonder if that Watchers 3 is basically just like Aliens 2, but involving an intelligent golden retriever in the jungles of... Oh, shit. No, it's going to be a Predator ripoff.
Oh, God.
Retriever?
Yeah, with like a super intelligent golden retriever in the South American jungles, and it's going to kill Wings Hauser and Max Dad.
Yes!
Wow. Well, I like how they specify a super intelligent golden retriever. Like, they're already pretty smart dogs.
Actually, I'm going to construct a crude suspension bridge from here to Venezuela, assuming odd jobs of the day, Mr. Pilkington.
Now,
retrievers are not as smart as people give them credit for.
I just mean, like, a dog in general is fairly smart. I would be more impressed if it was, like, a super intelligent, I don't know, trout.
Yeah, smart enough to get on a basketball or football team, though.
Exactly.
The world's smartest ferret.
Hey, guys, dogs can play basketball, nothing in the rule book.
Hear that, Sushi? You can play basketball. There's nothing in the rule book.
My favorite trope of those movies is when they look to the umpire or whatever, the guy with the rule book, and he's like, nothing in the rules says he can't do it. And I'm like, yeah, but there's so many things in the rules that there's so many things that are not in the rules. So I guess we're allowed to just shoot coaches in the face? Like...
Okay, so anyway...
I was going to say, like, for some reason, like, there's so many of those that's not in the rule book. The one that popped into my head... was something I have legitimately not had a thought about in decades. Did anybody else see Gus? 1976?
No, but I've seen it pop up on Disney Plus all the time. Isn't it like Don Knotts in it?
Yeah, Don Knotts and it's like Ed a horse. Asner. It's a donkey that plays football.
Oh. Yes, I have seen that movie. Yes.
Some reason, the way you said the, like, there's nothing in the rule book, my brain just, like, thought to the scene and there's, like, a donkey on the field.
And Don Knotts saying that.
Yes, okay. Thank you for unlocking that core childhood memory.
You're welcome, and if you want to watch Gus again, it's available now on Disney Plus.
Is it on Disney Plus?
It sure is in Canada.
We're watching that tonight.
That's right.
It's in Canada. I don't know you Yanks there that down there.
Yeah, Canada's are really into donkeys.
Who isn't? And if you aren't, you're a liar.
In Canada, they're all about that ass.
The jackass, yes.
Well, Brendan, thank you so much for joining us here on Everything I Learned from Movies. I understand you also have a podcast or two?
I do have a couple, and thank you very much, and you're welcome. What an asshole. I have another podcast. It's called What Were They Thinking? It's about bad to questionable movies. We've had some crossover with you guys a few times. You can find that on all the podcast apps or also on Age of Radio.
Big time!
Go to ageofradio.org/whatwerethinking. We're on Twitter at WWTT Podcast. Patreon, you can find us there as well. And Facebook and all the Instagram and all that stuff. My other podcast is called For Screen
and Contrary.
And on that podcast where, yes, we discussed at one point on one episode the Nicolas Cage remake of The Wicker Man. But normally, normally what we do is Jason and I talk about British films, or we have been doing that for the most part. And right now, is this airing? This is airing in November, right? Just later on?
Yeah, like in a week or two. Yeah.
Okay. Well, right now we're still going through the Empire list of British movies, so we're still talking about those. And then our next project should be we're really looking forward to it. So check it out, FSAC Pod on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, and we're also on Age of Radio, ageofradio.org/forscreen.
En contre.
And thank you. More later.
Excellent. Babe, are you on social media at all?
I am. You can find me everywhere at Untidy Venus. It's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias at Untidy Venus. You can find my goods and wares for sale at the local artisan collective in Ogden, Utah, and at untidyvenus.etsy.com. And now they're going to be on the local artisan collective webpage as well. Ooh. Support a small business. You can also find me on Patreon at Untidy Venus over on Patreon. Steve, where can we find you?
Oh, you can find me actually hitting up Untidy Venus directly for even better deals. Because fuck Etsy.
Fuck Etsy. Blah, blah, blah.
But of course, you can find us on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies. But you can also hit us up directly on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies.
Movies.
Guys, 2023 is bringing about a new year, and if you want to know what our themes are going to be, we got our little selection show coming up in I think our next episode, maybe the second one, I don't know, coming up soon. So if you got any suggestions, send them to EILF Movies, and we might consider them. We already have a pretty extensive list, though, I'm not going to lie. It's going to be great. We're excited.
Yeah!
So yeah, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And I'm Brendan.
And this is... Everything I learned from movies.
So excited for Ozzy Davis October.
Yeah.